Welcome to Music for Youth presents the Right Track Podcast with me, your host, Matt Haynes. In this episode, I chat to Rachel Staunton, Artistic Director of London Youth Choirs. I think her passion for young people, singing and choirs come across in the episode. We have our regional festivals coming up in March, which is exciting. If you want to get in touch with the podcast, please email mfy@mfy.org.uk. And follow us on our social media channels. So you were born in the north. So I was wondering, whereabouts were you born? And were you in a musical household growing up?
Well, I was born in the north of England in Billinge, which is a small village in Haydock. You might not be able to tell that from my accent now, because I did actually go to seven different schools, moving all around the UK, but ending up in Berkshire, kind of in the south. So I used to be Rachel, but now I'm Rachel. So I've lived in London for the past 15 years. But yeah, I was born in kind of Haydock Way and lived for quite a lot of years in Bolton, and then Nottingham in the Midlands before moving down to Berkshire and then moving to London. So lived a bit around the country, but definitely my roots are northern, and I've still got northern vowels like grass and path that I'm absolutely rigidly passing on to my children now.
And was the household, was there any sort of musicians in the family sort of encouraging you on, that sort of thing?
No, so principally my family isn't a musical one. My dad, if in case he's listening to this, might disagree, but my parents definitely were involved in the music in church in kind of an amateur way. So they would sometimes sing with the services, I remember, were kind of led by a band, and my mum would sometimes sing some, like, to lead the congregation on the microphone a little bit, and my dad sometimes would have a bit of a strum of his guitar. But principally no one had had really the opportunity to learn an instrument of my parents. And it was really by kind of having to sit through church music practice every Friday night that I got interested in music, really, because I'd have to sit there quietly. But if I was good, I got to have a go on this girl's clarinet at the end of the session. And I could just basically play it. I don't know what happened, but, you know, it was obviously my instrument to be, because I could just kind of make a little tune on it, no problem. And anyway, this took quite a few years of pestering, because there wasn't really the opportunity in the schools I was at to, like, learn an instrument or anything like that. In fact, two kids from each whole year group were picked to learn violin each year. And I was absolutely desperate to have a go. And my mum would write in and go, she's really, really keen. And then some other girls would get picked, and then they'd give up after a term. And each year, this kind of cycle of me being absolutely gutted that I hadn't got this chance to learn the violin. So anyway, after quite a lot of years of nagging and listening to band practice at church and having to go on this girl's clarinet kindly, and my parents finally caved and they bought me a beginner kind of plastic clarinet.
Related to sort of the early parts of your musical journey, I think in most cases there tends to be a music tutor who sort of lights the flame of, you know, your musical passion in those early years. Who was that tutor for you? And around that time, who sort of guided you on your way musically in terms of your tuition, your joining various groups, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I'd say I didn't really join any groups or really have any playing opportunities other than my little half an hour lesson for quite a lot of years. I was quite motivated myself to practice, and I'm not blowing my own trumpet, but I could sort of just play it quite easily, which kind of led to not practicing that hard. It's kind of ticking through the grades, fine. It was actually when I went to university that I got to have lessons with Robert Roscoe, who has been kind of working at Cheetham's at more recently. But he was the one really who made me realize, come on, somehow he helped me get self-motivated in the way I wanted to practice and the way I wanted to make music. So rather than just working towards grades, instead, like, what music are you into? How do you want to take this further? Like, how good could you get if you actually put your mind to it? And that was really like a shifting point for me, where all of a sudden I wanted to actually be the best I could be at that instrument. And I kind of was inspired by him, but motivated to work harder. So I'd say it wasn't until 18. So I started about age 10, was my first ever lessons. And then it wasn't really until kind of 18 where I kicked in and thought, actually, yeah, I can see the point of scales. But a few other people, I mean, that's my sort of instrumental side. There were people definitely who inspired me from a choir point of view. So around my teenage years, I auditioned for Berkshire Youth Choir and was with Gillian Dibden, who's just an amazing conductor. At the time, I think I didn't realise as well like how unique it was to have a female conductor. And Gillian is absolutely the queen of youth choirs. She is amazing, and her youth choirs have been, you know, prize winning for years and years and years, and she's still working now. And so she would definitely be somebody else who is kind of a bit of a hero of mine, really.
Well, that's good. It's always important to have that encouragement at that age. So your main focus, obviously, with the London Youth Choirs and various projects and your career so far has been choral music. One of the most spiritual experiences I've had musically, where it sort of hit me in the chest in terms of emotion and impact, was a few years ago in Notre Dame Cathedral. I walked in to a fantastic choir singing, and it just brought tears to my eyes. When did choral music really connect with you, and what made you want to give that genre of music your focus?
I think, looking back, I've always loved choirs. There's something about the human connection with the voices. Growing up in choirs where we kind of would all get on a bus and go and do a competition, it was really exciting what you could create together with the voices. We didn't need instruments. We didn't need, you know, all that kind of other stuff that sometimes comes with music making. It's very natural gut instinct, people just bringing their voices together. I'd say when I was fortunate enough to get into the National Youth Choirs of Great Britain, and honestly, I wasn't the best singer. I pretty much talked my way in because I was the social secretary, which is where you know that you haven't been the best singer when you get allocated the social role within the ensemble. But there were many game-changing moments in that choir where we would do things like go on tour for 7 weeks around the other side of the world, singing maybe 49 concerts, like a concert every single day.
Whoa.
And actually, yeah, it was quite intense. And there were just so many moments where you could see the power of choir in the audience's responses around the world. And I think that's when it sort of struck me that this is like, and this is a powerful thing. So I'd say that's one kind of experience with National Youth Choirs of Great Britain. And the other one probably is when I went to university, which I hadn't even heard of university till I was in sixth form at all. I just didn't even know it was a thing. And I found this brochure because my school headmistress was saying, where's everyone going to go for uni? Found this brochure in the library that said it was a picture of Royal Holloway. Now, if you've ever seen Royal Holloway, it's based on a French chateau. It's the most stunning building. And anyway, it said music degrees. Thought, great. And it said choral scholarships available. I thought, well, I'm in a choir, so I'll go for that. And I was fortunate to get one of those awards, which means you got money off your tuition fees, which, to be honest, made the whole thing of going to uni possible. And performing and leading worship in the chapel day in, day out, there were many moments as well where what you're talking about, that kind of spiritual or that kind of outer worldly experience of choral singing, definitely was a thing. I can think back to singing pieces such as Jonathan Dove's Seek Him That Madeth the Seven Stars, and just being absolutely bowled over when the organ comes in and the voices and these high soaring parts, and just having a lot of special moments like that. So
it's hard to believe it at this point, especially with how northern I'm coming across. I was a choir boy myself, and what being in a choir taught me was very much sort of you know, you get that sense of community, definitely. Mm. You get a good sense of sort of team ethic, because you have to, as you'll know better, or as you know than anyone, that you know you need to listen to the vocal blends about, you know, what part everyone's doing and all that sort of stuff. So I just wanted to ask you, really, what do you think are the benefits of joining a choir? If somebody listening to this was like, at whatever age, not just young people, were thinking, do you know what, I'd really like to get involved in singing in a choir again. What do you think are the benefits?
I think the benefits are slightly more clearly articulated to me at the moment because my kids have just joined a choir. So I got two boys, and through their choice, not my own, they're both in London Youth Choirs, so in the junior choirs, and I've been able to see some of the things that I've been preaching about for years, having said at LYC about the benefits, through their experience being in choir. So the first thing would be, I mean, this is particularly for kids, but I'm sure it's a good bonus for adults as well. It makes them sing all the time. So there's a joy, and there's a kind of using their voice, and there's just a, when they're doing something else, they're just singing tunes from choir. There's a musicality that just becomes a little bit innate from their experience of being in choir. And they kind of, you know, first thing in the morning, 5:30 a.m., we'll be hearing a little rendition of one of the choir songs, you know, that going to bed, sometimes they're singing themselves to sleep. And I don't think that's just because they're growing up in a musical household with their mum as choir conductor. I genuinely think that that is kind of one of the impacts. So first of all, joy. I think, yeah, there's that sense of team. There's working together. And whether you're in an adult community choir or choral society, or you go for your office lunch break and do a choir. I know music in offices, for example, like do that. Really recommend that. There's something about that kind of team, that coming together, all having the same instrument. And there's something about the kind of human connection of being able to sing words together that actually I think a lot of instrumentalists are striving for in their playing, that kind of storytelling, that narrative. So yeah, I think there's so many benefits. I think it's good for your health as well, like just taking time to think about your breathing, your alignment of your body, like how you use your instrument. All of these things pay off, and there's lots of kind of secondary benefits sort of to public speaking and yeah, all kinds of things really. But I'd say they're the main things that I've noticed sort of bringing joy and fun into people's lives. I suppose one other thing I should mention is, you know, working towards concerts and performances, it's really memory making, and particularly at London Youth Choirs, that's what we're kind of all about. We want to kind of rewrite the narrative for some young people in London who don't get a chance or face multiple barriers to sort of access stuff. And so if you take them to somewhere called Sing, it's a memory, it's like literally ingrained for the rest of their life. They think back to that time they sang at the South Bank Centre or the Royal Albert Hall or a pop-up performance outside St Paul's Cathedral, whatever it is. I really believe in those kind of like memory making, building up for young people in particular.
It's good to hear that your kids are singing around the house. I like that image. It's good. I feel like the voice is, you know, the people's instrument. And I believe that, you know, people might disagree with this, but I think most people can, you know, be taught to hold a note, and a lot of people can sing to varying levels. So the London Youth Choirs are based right across the city, offering platforms to young people from all backgrounds. And I feel that being part of choirs can help improve children's confidence. Could you give us a couple of examples of where you've seen individuals who've performed as part of your choirs, their confidence really blossom?
Yeah, so a couple of years ago, supported by John Lyons principally, we had a programme which really looked to work in schools where there was high people premium level or a lot of young people on free school meals, and where there was not like regular music teaching going on or any choir. And we did that in the outer boroughs of London. And at that time as well, John Lyons paid for chaperones to bring those kids in. So we did loads of workshops and a big event in schools kind of joint outside London. But then as a legacy from that, kids auditioned and took part in LYC choirs and were chaperoned in and out for rehearsals to kind of try and look at how we remove as many barriers as possible. And there were definitely special times in that programme where young people, perhaps with experience of care, living in care, or perhaps with experience of poverty, or perhaps even living with extended family or various different circumstances, or perhaps moved to London, displaced from somewhere else. There were lots of young people who had brilliant voices and just were so keen and dedicated to the programme. I think what's exciting for me is we started them at sort of age 7, 8, 9 and 10. And now they're kind of in the middle of our programme. And it's just so cool to see how they've progressed and how even things like how confident they are going on stage, how they welcome other children into the programme, how their families are grateful, you know, for something that is consistent year after year, that we manage to support the kids travelling, that we manage to kind of pay for their concert outfit, give them free tickets to come along to the concert. It's that kind of wraparound support that I'm really proud about London Youth Choirs. And I'd say that their examples in particular of young people who then are sort of 4, 5, 6 years into the program and are still with us, and I live for those kind of moments.
I saw that the LYC singers were involved in the Royal Variety performance, which I thought was very exciting. I'd love to even go and experience a Royal Variety performance. And and that they were performing Sing by Gary Barlow and Andrew Lloyd Webber. How did that opportunity come around? And can you tell us a bit about the experience on the actual day?
Yeah, I mean, fortunately, with the name London Youth Choir, some things do just kind of land in our lap, which we're really fortunate about. And I think as well, you know, our mission to have lots of young people from different backgrounds resonates with what people want to put on TV as well. So that's pretty cool. But we did the Platinum Jubilee outside Buckingham Palace with Jason Donovan and singing excerpts from Joseph by Andrew Lloyd Webber. So we'd done that in the summer, and then Gareth Malone, who's our patron, got a call saying, oh, we need a children's choir for the Royal Variety Show. It's Andrew's piece, and kind of Andrew wants the same choir who did the Platinum Jubilee. So as we often find in the industry of music, you know, one thing leads to another. So we were able to have 47 young people in the Royal Variety Show, and it was such an epic couple of days rehearsing and filming. And I mean, the Royal Albert Hall is one of my favourite places to take young people, young or old people, because when you walk in there, you can't help it, your jaw just drops. So even if we were singing to no one, it would have been a spectacular place to go and have a little sing and a little look around backstage. But then to get to kind of be involved in something which had big names such as George Ezra, Becky Hill, you know, loads of famous groups and musical theatre groups, the young people who got to take part were absolutely delighted. So yeah, that was really special, and that actually really helps with my mission. If we have those special events coming forward, that means that young people can see it really raises their aspiration, like, oh, when I'm in that group, I'm going to get to do stuff like that. So yeah, if you're listening and you've got good opportunities for choirs, I'm your lady.
Actually, to add on to that, because I like what you just mentioned there, what is your mission for the London Youth Choirs?
I think ultimately I would like, you know, across my lifetime, say, I'd like to see the choral landscape kind of really impacted by different people. So traditionally, the gates have been quite closed to different ethnicities, different people from different backgrounds, particularly lower socioeconomic backgrounds. We've had a big emphasis on the kind of red brick universities and sort of places where there are choral scholarships, Oxbridge and the like, you know. And then those people who've afforded those amazing opportunities have then gone on to kind of be professionals. And it's not exclusively that way, but definitely if you have a look around all the professional choral groups in the UK, that's where the emphasis has been. And I would like to see that massively change. So we look at the BBC Singers, we look at Tenebrae, we look at all these groups, and we actually see London, we see our nation represented. That would be something I'm looking to kind of change over a generation or two. I think future-wise for London Youth Choirs, more of the same is probably what I'd say. So I want to keep making amazing opportunities for young people. And I want to see loads of young people's lives kind of turned around through having a cool hobby, having a community of people who are alongside them, and like young people being able to make friends that are good influence, you know, all that kind of side of things I'm really, really passionate about. So yeah, and it would be being able to make that more accessible to more young people from more with different lived experiences. That would be kind of what my hopes are really for the next few years.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like a good mission to me. I was really pleased to hear that you work with young composers, because I think that's sort of fundamental for the way forward. So could you tell me a bit more about that recent collaborations with the young composers Brenda Rattray and Amy Bryce? And will you be doing more of these sort of collaborations with young composers in the future?
I'm sure Brenda and Amy are going to be delighted that they're being described as super young. I mean, the real emphasis we've got with commissioning is that our young people are involved in the process. So all the way along, when we've got composers coming in, first of all, we put an emphasis on composers who've historically been left off the scene in choral music. So we've got Amy and Brenda at the moment, but we'll look to kind of work with over the years, a really diverse talent pool of music writers and facilitators, etc., etc. But the main thing for me is like that young people, that the process of writing music and devising music and creating music could be kind of transparent. So they get to be along that journey with the composer. So Amy and Brenda have been writing pieces for us / with us for our 10th anniversary, which is coming up on the 9th of May. But that involved not just kind of having a quick listen to LYC choirs and going squirreling away, writing something in choir. It was really active process. So they were coming and listening to the young people, find out what they wanted to sing about, find out how they want it to sound, all that kind of, like, the young people wrote the lyrics for some of Brenda's piece and also for Amy's piece. You know, the choirs got involved in how they wanted it to sound, like aleatoric sections or like quite free improvisation bits, unison bits, full kind of choir texture bits. So I'd say the difference in the London Youth Choir kind of commissioning programme, if you like, is that kind of side-by-side integrated approach. And as part of that, we did a Young Composers Day. And I don't know about you, but in the industry, if you think of like young composers, probably everyone's thinking like 18 to 25s, but this was from age 7. So
wow.
we had
That's
a summer
amazing,
day.
Actually.
Yeah, it was cool. And loads of the kids signed up for it. Loads of the young people. And, you know, we've got 7-year-olds writing their own songs by the end of the day. And it was really special. In fact, we were all crying, all the staff, by the end, because, you know, it's been a difficult year, I think, for young people. And that was really able, they were really able to use that as a catalyst for what they wanted to write music about. And I could see firsthand like how powerful that was for them to go through that process and kind of get it all out. So yeah, really cool. So we'll see. I mean, lots of these things are funding dependent, as you'll be aware working in the arts. So
for sure.
Yeah, I hope we can do some more of that kind of work in the future. But there's another scheme that I would really plug, which is the National Youth Choir Great Britain's kind of young composer scheme. And we're often, you know, you don't want to duplicate effort. So they've got an amazing scheme for young composers. And actually, Amy Bryce, who we've commissioned, was one of their former young composers. So there's a sort of whole ecosystem that I think is good to utilise as well, rather than all trying to do the same thing.
You seem to have done a lot of work with Gareth Malone, and I know he's a patron. And he was a massive factor in sort of choral music crossing into the mainstream with his TV programmes. What do you think it was about those programmes that connected so well with the country? And is sort of inclusivity his superpower?
Gareth Malone's superpower is he's an extremely nice person through and through. So what you see on TV is also what you get, because he's very caring, compassionate, kind person, and he genuinely wants to use his musical skills for the furtherment of other people. And I think that's really what you get. That's the magic of his TV programme. It's taking people who might not otherwise sing and then putting on something really special that impacts their lives for the better. So whether that's in a hospital, whether that's military wives, whether that's office workers, you know, that is his superpower. And I think, you know, all of us choir conductors are grateful for the legacy that he's brought about, that we're all gladly riding the wave of in the birth of choirs. I mean, certainly 10, 15 years ago when I was starting out as a choir conductor, his programmes were big on TV, and it made it so easy to start as a choir conductor because there were so many choirs that needed directors. So thanks, Gareth. But yeah, that that impact, I think, is still being felt. There's so many choirs. I know he's just been on tour recently around the whole of the UK, and loads of community choirs were involved in his tour. Loads came to watch, and he was saying to me the other day, "I found my people," you know. And he was having a great time, right, living the tour life, tour bus life. So yeah, I mean, we're indebted to Gareth, and Gareth is a generous patron as well. You know, he always is looking for opportunities for our choirs. He sometimes brings his own kids along to our choirs, which is cool. But he's also just really personable, like a good guy to have around. And the choirs love working with him. And yeah, I mean, he puts his time and energy into actually helping us build something that's, you know, 10 years now in the making. So yeah, we're really grateful to Gareth. I think there's patrons and there's patrons, you know. You can have people, you can have names on things, and then, you know, they do the odd speech at a fundraising do, or you can have people who really get behind things
invested.
That's what Gareth's been to us, so we're grateful about that.
There's some great stories I've heard about the tours that he does. A friend of mine got up and he sort of finds singers in the audience. I think he does a walk round, and he sort of holds the mic out. And as soon as he heard that she could sing, he got her up on stage. I love that. Do you know what I mean? Because that's going to also make every single performance different and unique.
So, exactly.
And also, like, you know, he's very much, as I'm sure you are, I'm sure it's one of your main aims, is to sort of, you know, we need to get more people singing, and that will never not be a good thing. And
absolutely.
So what would you say, bit of a general question, but one I wanted to ask you, as a great sort of choir leader and conductor yourself, what do you think are the most important characteristics of those roles?
The first thing I'd say is being like positive. So people tend to come to choir because they want to have a good time. And actually, I've got good and bad memories of various different choir conductors. Ones where I felt stressed singing for them, and ones where it was just a joy and it was fun and it was time away from whatever else was going on in life. So I think being positive, you know, rather than "that was out of tune," it's like, let's lift the pitch of that there a little bit. Keeping your language positive and your body language all the time positive. I think we owe that to our singers. Being a good role model as well, particularly if you're working with young people. I think that's important. So whether that's, you know, making sure the language you use, like not swearing, or, you know, the thing, not making crude jokes, just being like a wholesome, smiley, good person to be around, who's kind of honest and fair with people. I think that would be top of my list as well. Being a good musician, I think, is useful. And it's nice for the young people to be able to learn from the experiences you've had, if you can pass them on well. I think that's always inspiring. So yeah, they're my main things, I'd say. But being kind of a visionary leader, like being able to get the best out of people, is probably the thing I think I'm probably best at. Not best like, oh, I'm world leading in that, but I mean, that's one of that's one of my skills, is I can take a group of people and make it sound really good, and somehow make people want to do their best and get it really good. And I think that that's a good skill of a choir conductor or a leader in general.
So the London Youth Choirs have their 10-year anniversary coming up in May. Did you say that's right?
Yeah, 9th of May at the Royal Albert Hall, which we're so looking forward to, because we're going to have a massive choir. So we've got 500 or so London Youth Choir members who are in our 10 choirs, but we've also got 1,212 primary school children.
Wow.
Who are, oh yeah, so this is going to be one big children's choir. So yeah, that's all very exciting. We started schools workshops and rehearsals for that just yesterday. So,
and can you buy tickets for that event?
Yeah, tickets will be available through London Youth Choir's website or Royal Albert Hall website, just a little bit nearer the time.
Okay, great. We'll make sure to keep our listeners updated with that information as well.
Thank you.
So just a couple of fun ones to finish with, really, just because it's always nice to just finish on something fun. If me and you were throwing a dinner party, and you could invite three guests, dead or alive, doesn't have to be music, I always say that to the guests, who would you like to invite along?
OK, Okay, well, I did have a think about this in advance because I was worried you might ask me that. And I've got a short list of five, if that's okay.
Oh, yeah, no, go for it. Absolutely, go for it, yeah.
Okay. The first one, so I'm a Christian from my faith, and I'd say it'd be pretty cool to have Jesus at your dinner party. So I'm going to go for Jesus, because there's a few questions that would be good to kind of unpick with him. I thought on the tunes, sort of DJ slash just music provision for the dinner party, I'd have Beyonce, just to get the dancing going, you know. I thought to rustle up some nice food, I might have Nigella, because she just makes good food. You know,
oh, like, I mean, you brought up Nigella there.
You've got to have Nigella there.
Everyone loves Nigella.
I just need like a sunken chocolate something or other, but she would make it sound good. I think from a music history point of view, I was thinking I might have Johann Sebastian Bach, because, you know, he's written some awesome tunes for choirs, so some choral bangers. So that would be good. And then an artist that I like at the moment that I thought it would be cool to invite is Stormzy. Because I really like his music, I like his lyrics, I like what he's about, and he's South Londoner as well, so that's where I live as well. So, yeah, that would be, I mean, it'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Jesus, Beyonce, Nigella, Bach, and the Stormzy. I thought that'd be a good combo.
Yeah,
what do you think?
Pass around the after heads.
Or that game where you put them on your head and you wiggle them down.
One I always like to ask people as well is, right, so I'm going to send you off to a desert island.
Ooh.
And while you're on this boat, I'm going to throw you up three albums to take with you on your journey. Which three albums would you take?
Oh, that is so tricky. That is so hard. Okay, I'm going to take Officium, which is like a choral album that has improvised soprano saxophone over the top of it. Which I absolutely love. I think I'm going to take an Ed Sheeran album, you know, because there's so many lyrics in it, it would keep me entertained for quite a while, and the tunes are just fun and upbeat. And I think I will also take a copy of Handel's Messiah, because that's basically the whole Christian faith explored in one choral work. So if I only get one choral work, then I'll go for that.
That sounds good. That's a good mix. I can't stop thinking about that dinner party guest list.
it's quite wild, isn't it?
That'll be such an entertaining evening. Well, so thanks so much for coming on. And
Thanks for having me.
In the episode notes, we'll post all the links. Sort of any young people listening who are interested in joining the London Youth Choirs, the links will be up for that as well. And thank you for the time, and I hope to meet you in person soon.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you.
Cheers. All right, then.
Cheers, Matt.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye.